everybody.
Good morning.
Excuse my French.
Sunday morning adult discussion here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. And we're about to dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think we're going to start with verse 5 or 6. Which one? Yeah. 5?
6.
6? Okay, and I think you said you would like to read through 19.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you it's through 19. Because then mine has a heading too. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know. Was you going to open in prayer? Or?
Oh, I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Did you think I forgot?
Yeah.
Hey, Clyde, how about opening in the word of
prayer? Lord, we thank you for this day, for we rejoice knowing that this is the day that you made. And Father, we just thank you for your word. And what we do is we sit here and invite the Holy Spirit to come and lead us in all truth. So, Father, let's let our hearts be set on priority to hear you and to know that we know that we know it is you. So, Father, be glorified this morning in this classroom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It is you.
I wanted to read the topic of how before it started.
Sure.
Remember I was telling you they split several places?
Yes. Yeah.
But before we read the sixth verse, it says, unless tongues are interpreted, do they help the church?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure whoever wrote that, you know, was doing it because they had read the rest of it. And I think everybody's got to come to their own conclusion. If you really are in favor of tongues, I'd say the person's going to say definitely. But if you're not in favor of it, they go, well, I don't know. And I think we're basically in a state of the Missouri state of show me. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's willing to do that if you put him to the test. But I thought we should stop there. It said, can I read just the sixth verse?
Sure.
It said, for the purpose I came to you, my brothers, speaking with tongues, what good could I do you unless I give you some revelation of truth, some knowledge in spiritual things, some message from God, or some teaching about Christian life? We'll stop right there. Otherwise, he's wanting them basically to know that what he's going to teach them is going to give them all those benefits. That's exactly what he's doing. He's giving them all the benefits. And as we have spoken in here in the weeks gone by, we know that the reason that we're together in the body of Christ is that we could exalt and exhort one another to the place to where maybe none of us are, but we are all together in one, and when we're one, we can be. Does that make sense? I said, because one in Christ, you know, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I've heard that so much, I really believe that. I'll shut up.
We have and so in that way, if your gift and calling is Paul's gift and calling, it is true that if if you're there to exhort and to instruct in that. But I think there's another a reason for tongues. And I think of it in more of a personal thing where it is your prayer language. And I think that like in Romans 8:26, which I read this morning, and it made powerful change in the way I was seeing things. In the Passion Translation, it says, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede. And that is probably, he makes groanings. It sounds like groanings in us, but it's coming directly from the Spirit of God within us, on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs, too deep for words. And I looked up that word, groanings. It could also, it could even mean a grudge. It can mean, you know, a sigh, you know, just in great, there's great emotion in that word, even if it's negative like a grudge, or brokenhearted like a groan, or just not knowing. And I find that that's the best way to pray, but it's a secret thing between me and God.
Well, I do think it's a prayer language. It's an individual prayer language that gets you that much closer to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I read this out of J.B. Phillips, which you just read?
Oh, yeah.
The Spirit also helps us in our present limitations. For example, we do not know how to pray worthily, but His Spirit within us is actually praying for us in those agonizing longings which cannot find words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me read an amplified too.
Go ahead.
It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself pleads, goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's no words to what Spirit of God.
And I believe that's definitely true. There are things that we need to be intercessing for and holding up and that we don't know, because it's not given to us to know, but God knoweth all things. He knows it all. Go ahead.
He says, for he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will.
And go ahead and read 28.
We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, that all things work together, that are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose.
Mm-hmm. And how many of us can say amen and amen to the fact that there are things that God is doing in our lives that we don't comprehend yet? Go ahead.
You know, actually, I think a lot of times when we're praying in our intercession or just by ourselves, that God wants us to realize that no matter how we speak, He has clear understanding of everything said. Mm-hmm. Whether we know it or not, I mean, we ought to be able to rest in that and find comfort in that and find hope in that for more people that are doing, actually, they're crying out. Their spirit's crying out. And, you know, I see that and I say, we would see Jesus. I mean, whether we know it, whether the world might be as messed up as we believe it is, but the facts are this, He's got the whole world in the palm of His hand. How awesome is our God?
When we say we would see Jesus, we're not looking for Jesus in the flesh. The Bible even says that. You know, look to the flesh and no man, not even Jesus. But when you say we would see Jesus, we need to see Jesus in all things, in one creation.
Well, we can look around this room and see that.
Yes.
Beholding
Him. Because He says when we see Him as He is, we're going to be like Him. That's what, and those are the groanings. Whatever it takes, Lord, for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Well, I pray that that's what I'd be willing to do.
I think what we should do sometimes when we find ourselves praying in tongues or whatever, I believe we should ask the Lord to give us the interpretation of what we just prayed. Because it's the Spirit of Christ inside you making intercession for you is what happens there. Uh-huh. And you might be praying, oh God, save my son, get him out of this situation, or my daughter, or whatever it is. You know what I mean. You might be praying in that vein, and the Lord might take you off in some speaking in tongues. And in that prayer, it might be, well, I've got him in the furnace of affliction, or her in the furnace of affliction, and they can't be saved until they go through the furnace of affliction, or something like that. If you actually understood what God was saying. And a lot of times it's one of those situations, like I say, where it's almost contradictive to whatever you're praying a lot of times, mm-hmm. because you're not praying according to God's will a lot of times in the natural with your understanding at times.
That's verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Right, right. And Paul said, I would rather speak a couple words, basically I'm paraphrasing this, I would rather speak a couple words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, basically. I'm 1,000 or whatever he said. But anyway, and it's, don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying speaking in tongues, because I think it's wonderful when that happens, and it does happen. But I think we should ask and pray for understanding. Because what we might find out is that we've been praying not according to the will of God, but according to our will. Mm-hmm. Just like Peter, when Jesus when Jesus started telling him about that, he must suffer and do all this and all that. Well, what does Peter do? All of a sudden he says, oh, not so, Lord. I mean, he was supposed to have realized by then who he was talking to anyway. Mm-hmm. Not so, Lord. And what is he telling?
Get behind me,
Satan. He said, you don't savor the things of God, you savor the things of man. Mm-hmm. Basically what he told him. And I think a lot of times when we don't know how to pray about a situation, I think we should ask the Lord, how would you have me even pray about this situation? And a lot of times, he'll have you pray something entirely different than what you wanted to pray. You know what I mean? So many times we're praying for God to change the situation, and if we really would hear what the Spirit's saying, the Spirit would say, let them go through it, because I allowed this situation to change their life.
Yes.
Because those very situations are the very things that a lot of times will cause them to make that commitment to the Lord eventually, because they got to come to the end of themselves. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a little example of that real quick, and it just short story here. My brother was up in the hospital. My brother had an encounter with the Lord when he was real young, and had given his life to the Lord when he was, I don't even know if he was even a teenager, and I don't think he was even a teenager. He went forward in the church and gave himself. And both of my sisters did that too at one time. I was the only one that never did that. I never did it till I was 21, They went forward, and yet when he was up in the hospital, he kept saying, he was in such pain, and he kept saying, and they'd give him pain pills and stuff, and he kept saying he was in such pain. And he said he just didn't understand, and I was trying to encourage him, and finally he told me, he said he felt like that the Lord spoke to him and told him, and here's what he said the Lord told him. He said, he asked the Lord, he said, why am I in so much pain, And he said, he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, I wanted you to realize how much I suffered for you. Mm-hmm. Think about that one. Mm-hmm. The present sufferings of this present time. Doesn't say the present glory hallelujahs of this present time, but the present sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So a lot of times we don't really realize what we're praying. We're praying what we see with our natural eyes and our natural understanding at times. Because if we pray according to the Spirit of God, a lot of times it'll be something entirely different from what we're praying in the natural,
When we pray, we're looking at, I'm thinking about my son, my nieces mm-hmm. and nephews, mm-hmm. and want God's mercy, and for God to bless them, and that, and in that situation, like you said, mm-hmm. God is dealing with them, and out of that right. situation is going to bring them.
Right.
But see, we don't know, we don't know His will. We're not having sought His will. And we want, oh, Lord, for God to bless them and really to get them out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that very situation is changing them.
Well, I know when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, I got so miserable, I didn't care if I lived or died. I mean, that's how miserable I had to get. And I knew God had been dealing with me from the time I was a kid, you know. Yeah. And you know, He had even shown me a vision, you know, when I was about, I don't know, about 13, 14 years old. He said, one night I went to sleep, you know, and I always read Bible stories when I was a kid. I liked to read Bible stories. And, you know, Mother had an encyclopedia salesman come, and encyclopedia guy said, if you buy these encyclopedias, and they used to lay guilt on you if you didn't buy the encyclopedia, you're depriving your children and all this kind of stuff. And you know, he told her, if you buy this encyclopedia, you got two books. You can choose which one you want to go with the encyclopedias. And one was some kind of science book, and the other one was a Bible story book. And she told me, she says, I'm going to give the book to you, so you pick the one you want. Well, I picked the Bible story book. And even as I was growing up, even though I hadn't really made a commitment to the Lord, a lot of times I would get that thing out and read it when I get a little conviction and stuff, and I'd read them stories and all that kind of stuff. But the thing about it is that I resisted all the way up till I was about 21 years old. And I had to, even though the Lord had showed me about 14 that standing behind the pulpit, you know, and I thought, nah, that ain't me, that ain't gonna happen, you know. And anyhow, so when I got about 21, I got so miserable, I didn't care if I lived or died. And I actually a couple of times thought about getting my gun out and shooting myself. I was that miserable. I just couldn't hardly stand. I couldn't eat, couldn't work, couldn't do nothing hardly, you know. And I was at home, and I finally just went in the bathroom and closed the door. And I said, God, I can't run from You no more. I got to have You in my life. And boy, he came in like a flood. And you know, then he started teaching me. You know, I started telling him. I didn't have a Bible. I got Margaret's little white presentation Bible, and I asked her, could I read that? And she said, because she'd went to church. You know, they used to give them away to kids that yeah. went to Sunday school and stuff. And she had one of them. And I said, can I read your Bible? And she said, yeah. And I really confiscated her Bible for almost a year before I actually went out and bought a Bible, but I would read stuff, and then I would just stick my finger in there, and I'd just get quiet and still, and God was teaching me. And I'd say, Lord, I don't know what I'd read. You got to teach me, you got to lead me, you got to guide me. Mm-hmm. And He did, and He opened things up to me that I didn't hear for 20 years preached, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, it was the Lord, and He was the one teaching and leading and guiding. But I had to go through a place of really didn't care if I lived or died. You know, well, my mother was riding to work with me every day. God hid that from her. Why? Because she would have been praying just the opposite. She didn't know there was anything going on with me. And she, you know, when I told her I'd give my life to the Lord, she told me, she says, you know, God hid that from me. And I said, well, she said, so I'd keep my hands off of it. And that's what she told me. And that's the truth sometimes. We don't realize that's why God will, a lot of times if we got a loved one and they're going through something really, really bad, He'll hide it from us. He won't let us see it. Because we, in our natural understanding, will be trying to pray them out of it. And He's got them in it, you know. And, you know, a lot of those things are very necessary for us to come on. And like I say, when we pray with the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we're probably praying something exactly opposite of what, you know, what we think in the natural. So I told you about my aunt that time when my grandfather died a couple weeks ago, when you know, she came out of the church and she was speaking in tongues. Well, I was a real young Christian and, you know, I hadn't been saved very long. But God gave me the interpretation of what she said when I got in the car, because we were getting ready to go to the graveyard. And when I got in the car, I told, and you have to realize she was of a holiness, you know, holiness type thing. And I think she thought her dad was probably not really saved, and grandpa was, you know, but she, because he didn't do everything that she did and follow everything that she followed, I think she probably thought he wasn't saved. And you know, when she come out of there, and the Lord gave me that word, and the word was, well, for surely my son is in my care now, you know. And he didn't say, I'm sending him to hell, you know.
No.
And when we came back from the graveyard later on, I was 4 years old, you know, when my dad died, this is another situation. My mom said, I said to her, I don't want my daddy to burn in hell. Who do you think told me that? I'm sure it would have been her, you know, because I don't think any of the rest of them would have said that. But, you know, but religion can be very harsh, and the natural can be very, very harsh, you know. But the spirit of
God is.
Yeah.
That's verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, be children.
Right. And we know how kids are when they have a problem with somebody. 10 minutes later, they're outside playing. They kind of forgot all about it, you know. Yeah.
Clyde?
Yeah, I think we've left out something here. I have to believe that though we might pray one way and God does something else, I think it's for us to have understanding on how to pray His will to be done. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy prayer when you know it's going to go against what you really want. Mm-hmm. I mean, take my mom for example. I pray that God's will be done, and this is exactly what I said, and all of us that remain be able to accept it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did I want my mom to die? No. Well, but I did want God's will to be done.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think you prayed that way?
Because I've been brought up that way.
Because God had dealt with you to pray that way, see? And that put you ahead of the game.
Well, see, when
you were
praying
according to His will.
When I was 12 years old, I had prayed to the God I didn't know that I'd be with her when she graduated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all like He had it all set up.
Well, and
He said, now I present you in this situation.
Yeah.
Now how do you, you know, basically I confess what I believed.
I tend to think, and I don't know if it's true, it's my opinion, that while we are in the flesh, about the only prayer that we can trust in completely is, Lord, thy will and not mine be done.
Well,
you're always safe praying that, because...
Well, I didn't finish. I'll tell you what, I actually believe that God wants to do whatever He wants to do. Like you said, that lady said, God's going
to
do what He wants to do with you to get you where He wants you to be.
Right.
Yes.
Now, that's not only dealing with kids. That's dealing with everybody in this room.
Sure.
And you know what? And that's dealing with Sarah and Abraham. That goes way back, way back. And these are all of our people, whether we want to know it or not. And Noah and everybody. It's the thing that He wants to see His spirit set at liberty and in us. And the only way that can happen is for us to become obedient unto His word. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you say you love somebody. Well, you know, it's easy to say, but then we need to actually walk in their shoes and find out. I mean, you know, a lot of times, oh, I'm not going to volunteer for that. Walk in their shoes. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I pray a lot of times, Lord, engage them. And then I give Him ideas about how to do it.
I love it.
Then,
how's that work for you? Why'd you do that?
Well, Lord, I repent. I repent and say, okay, do it your way.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Every time we put our hands on something, whether we know it or not, we quit trusting God with it. We actually keep identity with it. So we bring it up and acting like God's failing in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, He's got a prayer that's going to be answered for every one of us in here that brings him honor and glory. Now, unless we get that put into the front of us, we won't see that. But why is this? It's to bring him honor. It's to bring him glory. I mean, you know, who was it? When he told the, I think it was the blind man, not to go tell nobody, or it was the one at the pool of Bethesda, don't go tell nobody. You know what? When he started telling, it was obvious the people when he walked in was, this is the same guy that was sitting out at the gate. Yeah. Look at him. This is, since birth, he'd been out there. And now they're going like this. But who's to receive glory and honor by that? Who is it? Who is it? I'm pretty sure that name's Jesus. There's no other name. You know, I mean, if we think about that, we'll really get excited about there's no other name given among men, heaven and earth, but by the name of Jesus.
Well, see, they asked him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray, yeah. How to pray, mm-hmm. Not give us a prayer.
Right.
That's right.
Now, everybody thinks he was give us a prayer because they want to say, you know, the prayer he was giving them a blueprint of how to pray, you know. Our Father, which art in heaven, you're acknowledging him as Father, you're acknowledging him in the heavenly realms. You know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're at on earth as it is in heaven, you know, this earth. You know,
he was
giving them that blueprint right there of how we should pray, you know, and forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors, you know. And so on and so forth. And a lot of times, if we find ourselves in unforgiveness or any of these other things, and then we wonder why we aren't getting any prayers answered, guess what? That's why, you know.
I like this footnote on 8:26. It says, as a believer, you are not left alone to your own resources to cope with problems. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't know the right words to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with you and God answers. With God helping you to pray, you don't need to be afraid to come before him. You know, if we're left to our own resources, not very good. I've found that so many times in my life, it's ridiculous.
I was just going to say one other thing. That's one reason why I believe Scripture says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Mm-hmm. You know, we know when Scripture tells us to lay hands on each other and pray for each other. We know that. We're saying, lay hands on no man suddenly. So what should we do? That means we step back and we say, Lord, what would you have me do here? How do you want me to pray about this situation? You know, and if we do that, we're going to tend to pray more in his will. Sorry, buddy.
His will?
No, I was just thinking, you know, sitting here, God wants you to get out of your way.
Yeah.
So he can have his way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. That way we're
too.
Well, I think it goes to what we've all been saying. If we pray for a situation the way we want to do it, to get the outcome that we want to get, is actually the exact opposite of what we should be doing.
It's going to be a disaster. Yeah.
And that's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because if we're praying, the only thing we want is we want what's ever best for us, not so much for the situation.
Clive,
I hate to say
our
that,
ways
but
are not his ways.
But it's true.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, but that also prolongs it. When we don't pray God's will, and we think we are, shame on us. Because the fact is, we're prolonging it not happening. Meaning, your kid's suffering. They're over here. They're suffering. You look at them. You know they're suffering. You go like this. God heal them, if it be thy will. Mm-hmm. We haven't come to the place, I'm saying we, and I usually don't say we, but we haven't come to the place to where we're willing to accept whatever his will is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what
I mean, that's the sign of a mature son, believing in the fullness of the faith of the grace of God to deliver, you know what, in the end, it's salvation is of the Lord. That's a pretty firm statement right there. And nowhere did it ever say salvation is of the Lord with Clyde for Debbie. It doesn't say that. That's why it's an individual thing. It's so that My sheep know my voice and none other will they follow. That's what that's about.
Well, see, a lot of Christians try to get their kids saved, you know what I mean? And I never did try to get Mark or Jennifer to commit their lives to the Lord, because I felt like God is perfectly capable. I know the script. I knew the scripture where it says, "No man can come unto me except the Father draw him." Mm-hmm. And I know God was perfectly capable of getting a hold of them in His time, under His conditions, you know. And Mark happened to do it as a kid, you know, when he was still just a kid. Jennifer didn't, and I didn't. And Jennifer went to church all them years, and I never ever tried to get her to go forward or anything like that. I just left her alone. And when did she give her life to the Lord? During one of our plays.
Mm-hmm. At Easter.
At the end of one of our plays, she came up and wanted to give her life to the Lord. And she told me, she said, "Dad, I'm sorry it took me so long." And I said, "I'm not sorry."
You know,
it was
right on time.
And see, that's the thing. So many times we're trying to push God, make something happen, rather than flowing with God and letting Him make it happen when it's supposed to happen.
Amen.
You know, hopefully a little bit of my sermon today will deal with some of these things that we're talking about here.
Well, Mike's quoted it. I must quote it so you can pick it up. God has a plan for us. What is that plan?
Absolutely has a plan.
I mean, we could have a design that we think is God's plan. That ain't my plan. He goes like this: "My plan is for you to go down in order to get up." That's how He works. His, like she said, His ways aren't our ways. Our ways aren't His. A lot of His plans is in breaking the individual into whatever He needs to break them into, whether it be a puddle of tears or whatever it is. But repentance is at the heart of the whole thing, and we don't need to get in the way, get out of the way. We need to get out of the way of letting the Holy Spirit do what it's doing. First of all, I hate to say this, but I believe a lot of people don't recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, and this is a sad thing, because they're not used to yielding to it. They think, well, like Oscar said a while ago, lay hands suddenly on no man. That would be running interference. When God's got somebody under conviction, we need to back away and let Him do the work that only He can do. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to do two things: convict us and to comfort us. Them two things. And He's better at it than anybody I've ever known. I mean, well, you know, I mean, sure, well, this is my son, I'd like to kind of get credit. Well, you ought to drop that at the door, because you know what? He's God's son before He's our son.
Right.
The daughter's God's daughter before it's our daughter. I mean, it's always God first. And Oscar said it so many times. It says, the natural will declare, I believe it is.
Things of the natural declare.
Declare the things of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And if you sit back and you'll watch that, you'll see that that's absolutely a truth.
You have to have spiritual sight to understand that, really see it. But you can see it. I mean, every day, if you look at the things of the natural, you can see God's, the Spirit of God moving, you know, and how He's doing things. And it don't look like it sometimes to the natural mind.
You know, again.
But to the spiritual mind, it does.
When you were speaking about Clyde letting go, if you don't, you know, pray in with the Spirit, here are the things that's going to happen. You'll refuse to let go of the situation, you know. And when you said that, oh, it was take your hands off of it. It got me to thinking about in the, where it's talking about the armor of the flesh. That you can't do the work of God with the armor of the flesh.
Right.
And that reminded me of the high priest going in to the, you know, you can't go in under your own power. You have to go in with the linen robe on, which is the righteousness of God, and that alone. That is one of the most difficult things to do in the flesh. As long, and I don't mean in our, I mean, as long, we have been placed into these fleshly houses. It's difficult to do while we're in this realm. And the overcoming that that takes to say, God, your will be done. But I think that's what we're coming to. I think we're realizing what a mess we have made with the arm of the flesh.
Yeah. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, they went in once a year to the Holy of Holies. But from the days of Jeremiah onward, there was nothing in the Holy of Holies. There was nothing there. The Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff had been taken. The Babylonians had taken that stuff. It was gone. It wasn't there. You know, and although I don't know if they took it, but Jeremiah hid it or something happened. But anyway, so imagine that. All of those years, they were going in and taking that blood sacrifice and going in there, and there was nothing there. And then when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was rent in 20. And it was torn from the top to the bottom, and God did it, signifying the way into the Holy of Holies. But when it opened up, there was nothing there. Well, why is that? Because in Hebrews it tells you that veil was Jesus' flesh.
Yep.
And it's your flesh too. You know, the Holy of Holies is inside of you. You know, and he was revealing to them that their religion was religion. It wasn't really functioning like God wanted it to function, you know. And Josephus tells about that. If you look into Josephus some, he tells about that, all that there was nothing in there, you know, and there wasn't, you know, because Jeremiah had taken the ark and hid it, or. And they keep talking about they're going to find it. Well, the only way they'll find it is if God wants them to find it, because that's all types and shadows, you know, of the true ark of God and the true, all of those things are types and shadows. And literally, we know Jesus, the scripture says that he was the propitiation for our sins, and he literally was the mercy seat, you know. And the mercy seat was the covering over the box, and that was where God would appear between those two cherubim. And I believe myself, now I don't know if everybody, you know, a lot of people might not believe this, but I believe them two cherubim was a type of Adam and of Jesus, the first man and the last man, and God was going to appear right between those two natures, you know. And that's why if you look in, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where he'll say that Tyrus was the anointed cherubim that covereth. He was one of them. Well, he was a man. And you read about him, you'll see it's talking about a man there. And yet, you know, it says in the day that you was created, you were perfect, you know. Well, he was perfect, perfectly innocent, but not perfect in the sense of there wasn't the ability to sin there and everything. But boy, I tell you what, when you understand a lot of those things, I mean, it's religion is religion, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm talking about secular religion, you know. It puts a lot of fairy tales out there. And, you know.
Okay, if you guys don't mind, we never did get around to reading what we wanted to read today.
Right, well, so, not just reading.
You read 6. Let's go around. You read and see if there's any, because of the conversation we've had or because of anything the Lord's dealing with you, if you're thinking of anything comes to mind on the verse that you read, you each one read one, okay, out of whatever translation you're sitting there with. So Debbie, will you read 7?
And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give us a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped?
And read 8 too, because it goes.
For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Nothing.
It's a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't know what the message is, you don't know what to do about it.
Good. Okay, buddy. You be nine?
Just so it is with you, if you in the unknown tongue speaks words that are not intelligible, how will anyone understand what you are saying, for you will be taken into empty space. There are, I suppose, all those many to use unknown tongues in the world somewhere, and none is distinct, is destitute or its own power of expression and meaning. But if I do not know the force and significance of the speech language, I shall seem to be a foreigner to the one who is speaking to me, and the speakers who address me will seem a foreigner to me. Let me go on.
Just nine?
No, he did all the way to 11.
He did all the way
to
11.
Okay, good. That's good. And then Brenda, why don't you do 12?
So it is going to last since you are so eager. Did he read 11?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
So it is with yourself, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church.
And what was that? Four?
That was number 12.
12.
Just 12? Okay. All right, so then I will read 13. I'll read 13 and 14. Wherefore, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. I want to go back and there was something that somebody was reading over there that kind of caught my ear. Okay, never mind, it's gone. What am I reading now, 13? Go ahead, Clyde.
I want to go back to 12.
Okay.
So with yourselves, since you are so eager to possess spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. concentrate your ambition upon receiving those which make for the real growth of your church. Once again, it's about the body. All right? And then it said, can I read 13?
Sure.
Then it says, and that means if one of your number speaks with a tongue, he should pray that he may be able to interpret what he says. Can I go on? I want to go on. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit is praying, but my mind is inactive. I like that. I am therefore determined to pray with my spirit and my mind. And if I sing, I will sing with both spirit and mind. Otherwise, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can the uninstructed man say amen to your thanksgiving since he does not know what you are talking about?
I saw a clip from that TV show. I don't watch TV, but it was the autistic doctor, and they had a patient in the emergency room who was autistic, and they all kept saying, he's having a psychotic episode. And he said, no, he's not. He's autistic, and he's afraid or something, whatever it was. And it's like he was speaking the same language as this kid, and they didn't understand, but he did, because he had experienced it.
We were at camp one year. And this is a side thing. We were at camp one year. And a brother that was a doctor that was married to
Carol Davenport. You forgot her.
Right, Carol Davenport. Well, anyway, he was speaking. He said, I have a story to tell you, and I think it fits here perfect. And that story is, I had a patient that was in a coma, and the Lord told me, he said, well, you've tried everything, now do what I tell you. You go down, sit next to him, and speak in tongues. Pray to me and speak in tongues. He said, you're praying to me, you're speaking in tongues. He said, the one that's in a coma is going to give the interpretation. Of course, he didn't know at that time. But the guy came out of the coma and said exactly what he said in tongues, not speaking tongues, but he said, I can tell you what you said. He said, what did I say? He said, you asked me if I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He said, what'd you say? He said, I said, I did not. He said, then you said, would you like to? And he said, what'd you say? I said, yes, I would. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Spirit to spirit.
Well, and guess what? You think that doctor hadn't been before the Lord before to know, to follow the leading of the Spirit? Those that follow the leading of the Spirit, what are they called? The sons of God, aren't they?
Yes, Lord.
That is so thrilling, and this word really is saying that's how it is. I mean, the interpretation will be given, but from a person that's in a coma to do that, people act like, well, God can't do that. You know, I actually believe whatever you say God can't do, he can do more of. Abundantly more of. Just so far outstretched. Our God's an awesome God. Yeah. And he never loses control by confusion of tongues.
We looked too much at the natural mind in the 80s when I was taking care of this woman. She was 95 and she went into a coma, you know, coma. And God said, bypass that natural mind, speak to her spirit, speak to her. And I began to, she passed away, you know, but I began to speak. And God, I knew she understood and was and knew what I was saying, even though her mind didn't have understanding. She did. Then there was a girl I met. I was taking care of another lady, and the girl next door had had a stroke before. She was a twin. Her brother was a twin. They used to come over and visit. She'd come over and visit. And she had another stroke. And she almost cried. And she was in the hospital in Urbana, and she always liked little teddy bears and stuffed animals, and she was like probably in her 30s or what. And so I went to see her, and she was in a coma, and I gave it to her and let her hand, you know, to feel it. And then God told me to begin to pray for her and speak to her, and her whole expression changed on her face. The God that we met, she heard what I spoke, and that night she passed away. She went to be with him. I said, God, the things that he does. I'm seeing in here when they're talking about, and Romans 8 was talking about the things conferred upon Brother. He spoke it. Brother Oscar, you know, spoke it. But it was saying about how the whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the very sons of God. But this scripture, you had read it before for in class to Savannah, and Savannah was in your class, and she said that's her scripture.
Romans 8:18.
And it's also in 2 Corinthians 41:16-18. It says, but what of that? For I consider, was talking about, we are his children, we are his heirs, also heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must also share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worthy being compared with the glory that is about to be. And here this is revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship, which is him.
In Romans 8th chapter, if you read it in the Phillips, it says that creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but it's been so limited, you know. And then if you go to the epistles of John, and he says, if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him.
Yes.
So the funny thing is when you take those scriptures and then you realize what it's saying there, and then you look, the things of the natural declare the thing of the spirit. What are the shows that people tend to watch the most in the past 10 years?
Reality
shows. Are they real? No. They're not, most of them. I mean, let's face it, if you got somebody out in the jungle and you know, there's lions and tigers and all that stuff around, I guarantee you there's somebody around there with a gun that if that lion wants to jump on that person, they're going to shoot that tiger or that lion or whatever it is. Some people ain't out there just by themselves. There's people out there that's going to take them to the hospital if they get too sick or a lot of things, you know. But reality, the things of the natural always declare the things of the spirit. If you just look with the natural and you begin to say, Lord, give me eyes to really see what's being said here in creation. Because creations, they're groaning and travailing. They're waiting for that manifestation, you know, just like you were reading, you know. And like I say in the Phillips, it says, not because they haven't chosen to be like it, but God has subjected us to that, you know. And he's subjected us to the thing of not totally seeing the reality yet. And, you know, we don't understand that. There's a lot of things we don't understand yet. There's more we don't understand than what we do understand, I say.
You know, God brought to me, because I prayed for that girl, and yeah. What he had me tell her, I got low, you know, down low, and to her, speak to her, and told her that God loved her, and that he was with her, and that she was not alone, and she had nothing to fear, and that he's with, and then I had her hand, hold that little, you know, rub that little bear that I brought there, and as I spoke this in her, and then when I'm back, her whole expression changed, because when I went in, she looked, you know, like in pain, you know, like, and a problem. Who knows what all she was thinking, but God knew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know, and had me to tell her that, reassured. And so when I looked at her face, I knew that she knew, that she knew.
I wanted to ask Mike to read the 15.
Yes.
Let's see, you read
14? I read actually through 16. 17, 18, and 19 are left.
Okay. I want to hear, though, 15 and 16 in Mike's.
Okay.
Okay.
What have you got there? You got
this two? Is NIV.
NIV.
Well, am I reading 15 and 16?
Yes.
So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. Mm-hmm. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquiry say amen to your thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Since they do not know what you are saying, you are going to think thanks well enough, but no one else is edified.
That's good. That was 17 also.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to finish it out with 18 or 19, Oscar?
Sure.
I thank my God.
18 and 19, okay. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with understanding that my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Yes.
All through that whole part, I was thinking, I have a hard time understanding if Paul's trying to say yay or nay on speaking in tongues, but I think 18 and 19 makes it pretty clear.
We say, I speak with tongues more than you all do.
Yes.
Well,
mm-hmm.
When he prays like that.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that as the prayer language. But yet, he also knows that if you don't understand what you're praying, you're really not being fruitful, you know, to yourself. You're not bearing fruit in your own life. You're I don't even know how to say it. You've got something interceding for you because you're probably not praying in the right way in the natural. Now that's a hard thing to say, but like I say, a lot of times we have a tendency that if we see someone that's in pain or something, God take it away, God do this, God do that. And if we could really hear what the Spirit was saying, it might not be saying that same thing. It might be saying, leave him alone.
I think that goes back to what I said earlier. We might be praying, you know, take it away.
Yeah.
But we want them to take it away so we feel better too.
Sure, sure.
Because you're watching them suffer. I'm worried over them and watching
them. That's right.
Yeah.
There used to be a brother who went to church here. He used to send me letters and he'd contact me every so often, and it was always negative. And I sat down to try to respond to him a couple of times, and I really wanted to, really bad. It was really bothering me. Mm-hmm. And natural, I mean, I wanted to just to really tell him a few things. And every time I'd do that, I think the Lord would say, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And I wanted to respond so bad. It was just, it almost hurt it so bad.
Well, it put you in a place of praying for him.
Well,
didn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The thing about it is that when God says leave somebody alone, you know what you need to do?
Leave them alone.
I'm not going to verbally say anything.
You know, but he was in a lot of error, and I had one time in church. This was a lot of years ago. I had one time in church where the Lord gave me a prophetic word, and he was at church that time. Mm-hmm. This guy was at church, and I didn't say a word about who it was for or anything else. I just got up and I gave the word, you know. And I no sooner got out the door of the first sanctuary into that hallway, mm-hmm. him and his wife were right on top of me. Mm. They knew it was for them. I didn't have to, and what it really was is that if he would repent, God would restore him. You know, that was the gist of what it was. And I don't remember the exact word because I try to put that stuff out of my mind when God gives it to me. And, you know, right away it was, you know, and I didn't even call them out or anything like that. I just got up and gave the word. And you know what? They knew exactly who it was for.
They were arguing with the Lord.
They knew exactly who it was for. Did he ever repent? I doubt it.
Clyde, you look like you have one last.
I was going to tell you, next week we should be 20 to 33.
Ooh, right. Okay.
That way we don't have to wait to get a phone call from
you. 4284. I'm a numbers girl.
Okay, I know that.
4364. 491. Okie dokie. Well, who wants to close in a word of prayer? Debbie?
Father, we thank you for your Spirit here today.
Word of prayer.
In us and among us. Lord, thank you for bringing clarity to your word. Let us walk in it. Amen.
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 Good prayer.